I want you right now to bow with me one more time for prayer. And I just want to ask God to help us. Lord Jesus, God, we've come to this place this morning. We've sought your face and we've prayed through the week. And even this morning in the office, that God, you do the unusual. That God, that you do something here this morning. God, I want to thank you for the fact that this is real. I want to thank you that, Lord, it's not a story, but it was a historical fact that Jesus Christ came clothed in human flesh, and that you were born, and that you lived, and that you died a sacrificial death and were resurrected, and that you're alive forevermore. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd have mercy on us as individuals and on this nation. God, help us to be ever mindful of all that you've done for us, how you've blessed us so in days gone by. And God, I pray, God, Lord, that you'd send revival. We realize, our Father, that this world economy will come to an end, that Jesus Christ will come to rule and reign. But God, I pray that you would grant in these last days, yet one more time, a great revival in this nation. I pray, God, that you'd move on the hearts of your people. Now speak to me and through me. God, I don't want to miss you this morning. I want to be obedient to you. And God, I pray you'd help me. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for God's mercy and grace and for his goodness. I want to read a passage of scripture this morning. And I'll make a few comments here in a moment. Then we'll finish some announcements. I want to ask you a question. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you know 100% sure that heaven's your home? If you want to raise your hand, you can, but you don't have to. I want to tell you, the most important thing in all the world is that you know that you're ready to meet God. You need to know that you're saved. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's why he came. He said in the book of Matthew, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." We are sinners, and every person have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all need to be saved. I was thinking last night, we came over to the Christmas party for Brother Barry's class. Brother Barry just so simply, once again, shared the gospel message that's in the Christmas story. And I was thinking this morning, as I was praying early for the service this morning, the story of Christmas does not need to be sensationalized. It needs to be sounded. We don't need to embellish it. It simply needs to be expounded. There's no greater truth about why Christ came than's recorded in the Word of God. You can just read it for yourself. I want to read a passage of Scripture and make just a comment here in chapter number 2. If you will, please. Matthew chapter 2. And it says this. "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" And that little phrase I've preached to you before over and over again around Christmas time, but as I thought and prayed about this morning, that came to my heart. Brother Brad and I didn't talk about the services, yet the choir sang about the king. And then the groups have sung and emphasized his sovereignty. The question raised here in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 2 is, where is the king? Where is the king? I'm going to say to you in the first place that in the Gospel of John, Jesus had performed many miracles. And having performed those miracles, he was thronged by a great crowd of people. And the Bible says in John chapter 6 and in verse number 15, that Jesus, when he perceived that they would make him a king, he withdrew himself and went into the mountains alone. And I've read that passage of Scripture before, and I realized that he did come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet, when it came time when they would make him a king, he withdrew himself. And then as I began to study the Holy Ghost of God, let me understand the setting that was there and the wording of that verse. It says, when they would make him a king. It says in the beginning of this passage that Herod was king, but Jesus Christ is not a king. He is the king. He's not in line with any other king. He's the only king. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. That's why he withdrew himself. Jesus Christ is the king. Where is the king? Well, where was the king before he ever became a baby? Where was he? Well, the Bible says that in the book of Proverbs chapter 8, he was daily the Father's delight. He, when Jesus Christ was born and at his baptism, when the Holy Ghost of God spoke and God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I will please." That wasn't the first time. I'm telling you, before a river ever flowed to the ocean, before a mountain ever reached toward heaven, before a star ever gave light at night, he was daily the Father's delight. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He has always been King of kings and Lord of lords. He's always been there. In the Old Testament, he was the deliverer of Israel. He was the blesser and protector of the nation of Israel. He was the king who ruled behind the kings, physical kings of the earth. He was, in fact, the King of Israel. He's never called the King of the church because he is our Savior and our Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he'll rule in the millennial reign of Christ. But when he came to this earth, the king was that lad in the manger. That little boy, that little baby in the manger was the King of kings and Lord of lords, born in a stable, born and laid in a manger. Thank the Lord for that. He was that young boy in the temple, but he was king while he was there. When somebody else saw, like David, the song says about David, when they saw a lad, Jesus saw the king. Well, I want you to know one thing, that Jesus Christ was the king when he was the baby. Jesus Christ was the king when he was just the lad in the temple. He was the king when he was just the leader of his disciples. He was a king when he was called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not done anything. He's not accomplished anything. He's not been rewarded his kingship. But he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. There's coming a day when we will acknowledge that and we'll see that and we'll recognize him as that. But he always has been the King of kings and Lord of lords. But where is the king now? Where is he? Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians. Let me answer that from the Word of God if I can this morning. In the book of Ephesians, will you find Ephesians chapter 1? And listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse number 20. And it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and hath set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Where is the king? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's been given power and dominion over everything. He is over all the church, over all the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns it all. But turn over in the book of Philippians. Let me show you what it says in the book of Philippians in chapter number 1 as well. In chapter number 2, I'm sorry, in verse number 9. And listen to what it says. It says this, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Where is the king? He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. He's there in a place of prominence. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, but he's in a place of readiness. He's in a place of reverence. He's there. And one of these days, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's in that exalted position. He is in that excellent position. And thank God, listen, he is in the expectant position. He said, sit here until I make all of your enemies your footstool. I want you to know that every power, every world power, every world leader one day will bow and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. It may not look like it now. It may look like sometime that we're on the winning side, but I've got news for you. We're on the losing side, but we are on the winning side. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's just waiting, anticipating that day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess. But may I say to you, he's not only at the right hand of the Father in an exalted position and in that excellent position and in an expected position, but he's there in a unique position for me and you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest, and that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Where is the king? He's in glory right now before God the Father, making request on your behalf. The Bible said, the Lord said, when you pray, you pray. But he said this, your Father knows what things you have need of before you ever ask him. Why is that? Because we have an intercessor. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, who is representing us as our advocate before God the Father. You think about that. Where is the king? The king is standing before the God, the sovereign of all this universe, on your behalf. If you're a believer this morning, he's on your side. If you're a believer this morning, he's making intercession for you. And I know some of you are going through tough times, financially and physically and emotionally. Some of you have had awful things in so far as the world's perspective happen in your life. But I want you to know that while this church loves you and I love you and you have friends and family who love you, you think about this. The King of glory right now is ever living to make intercession for you. Right now, he's calling your name. Right now, he's interceding before the Father on your behalf. My dear friend, what a blessed thought to think that the king, where is the king? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, exalted. But my dear friend, he's also standing in the very presence of the Father, making intercession for you right now. He's pleading on your behalf. But where is the Father? Where's the king right now? I saw in the Bible, in the story of Stephen. Stephen was that faithful deacon who preached the gospel. And people, the Jews were irate at him. The Bible said that they stoned him. And when he knelt, he prayed like Jesus prayed and said, Father, forgive them, and pleaded. And then he looked up into heaven and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right, standing in heaven. He saw the Lord standing. And I thought, why was he standing? The Bible said he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I know why he's standing. He's standing to welcome home that faithful soldier of the cross. And can I say to you, where's the king at right now? Where's the king of glory? You have loved ones who've left you recently to go to heaven. And most people in that time, we all think about it. We think about, well, mama or daddy or husband or wife, that they've got loved ones over there. They've got children over there. They've got a grandma over there. They've got a maid over there. And now they've gone to see them. And I don't doubt that. I know that's reality. That when they get to heaven, they are welcomed. And thank God for those who know the Lord who are already there. And it's a glad reunion day for them. But can I say this to you? I believe with all my heart that there's an endless procession of the saints of God around the world who leave this body. And the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I've got news for you. Where is the King of glory? I believe he's standing at the gate of glory to welcome his children home. I believe with all my heart when your loved one left you recently, the first one who greeted them as they went through the gate was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the King of kings. There's nobody in heaven that loves us more than Jesus loved us. We had love of mother and family and friends, but Jesus loved us before the foundation of the world. He loved us with an everlasting love. And Jesus, in fact, does love us more than anybody humanly could ever love us. That's not to say that they don't love us, but he loves us so much. He welcomes us when we go through the door. But may I say to you this, you can know him today. You can see the king. You can meet the king in a very personal way. Where is the king? He's not only in an exalted position in heaven. He's not only in that place of intercession in heaven. He's not only in that place of welcome in heaven. But he's in that place of reception in heaven. What do I mean by that? The Bible said he came into his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The Bible says that when a person gets saved, the Spirit of God comes in then crying, Abba, Father. That's the birth cry of regeneration. That's a new birth. He's standing in a place of reception. He's ready and willing to receive you. He wept over Jerusalem, and he said to Jerusalem, 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 thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers a chick, but you would not come to me that you might have life. He says in the book of 1 Peter, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know where he's standing right now? You know where the king is at right now? He's in a place of ready reception. He's waiting for you to turn to him. He's waiting. You won't have to talk him into it. You won't have to convince him to save you. You won't have to promise him anything to save you. But if you'll simply receive him, he's waiting to save you now. He's in that place of reception, anxious to receive you as savior, as his child, if you'll trust him as your Savior and Lord. Think about that. He's anticipating that. He's anticipating that return. Not only is in that place of reception, I said a while ago, he's in that place of expectancy. One of these days, not only can you meet him personally here as a Savior and Lord, but you can meet him in the rapture. The Bible said the Lord himself should ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. He's in that place where he's anxious to receive his bride. He's looking forward to that. He's looking forward to the time when you'll meet him in the air. My dear friend, you can see him in the rapture. You can meet him in the rapture. But not only will we see him in the rapture, meet the king in the rapture, but you'll meet him in the revelation. For those who don't know Christ and have rejected Christ, if Christ were to come now, every saved person would leave. But every lost person in this building would remain. Every lost person in the radio audience would remain where you are. In the internet audience, you'd be left behind. And you'd be plunged into what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation Period. It'll last 7 years. But then at the end of the 7 year period, Jesus Christ comes back with 10,000s of his saints. He comes back in majesty and glory. But he comes back in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God. That's an awful way to meet the King. You can meet him today in grace and mercy. You can meet him today in love and kindness. Or you can wait and you'll see the King in great vengeance, taking vengeance on all them that know not God. And for those of us who know him, what a joyous privilege to know that we've been redeemed and that we're not appointed to wrath. And thank God we'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. What a joyous thing that is. It's a good thing to know that Jesus Christ came. It's a good thing to know that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. It's a good thing to know that he's our Savior and Lord and that he's there. But one of the things that thrills my soul, and I ask the Holy Ghost of God to keep reminding me, that when I see what's going on in our country and around the world, to be reminded he's not relinquished his authority. He's still in control. And he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day, every eye shall see him. And listen, there's a song, Brother Brad's going to come round and be ready to sing for me. There's a song that we sing at Christmas time, and I've emphasized it before and told you about it before. The truth of the matter is, while it's a wonderful Christmas story song, the great truth of it is a future event. It's not when he came as a babe in Bethlehem. It's not when he came as a Savior, but it's when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he shall rule and reign forever. And those of us who are saved will rule and reign with him. I want you to listen to Brother Brad as he sings this song right now. And as God leads him, joy to the world. Listen to it. It's a song about the Lord, the King of Kings, coming back to rule and to reign.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. far as the curse is found, far as, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders and wonders of his love.
He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we talk about that day when we will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Truth be known, he is the King. He always has been the King. He'll be manifest as the King. And I'm thankful that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.